The Prudential Family Hour of Stars. Each week, the Prudential Insurance Company of America brings you one of its family of seven great Hollywood stars: Humphrey Bogart, Betty Davis, Ray Milland, Gregory Peck, Ginger Rogers, Barbara Stanwyck, and Robert Taylor, in a series of radio plays by Hollywood's finest writers, with the music of Carmen Dragon. Today, a dramatic story entitled The Deeper Shadow. Our star, Mr. Ray Milland. It's 4 o'clock of a mid-November afternoon, a cold, bleak afternoon huddled under a leaden Ohio sky. A tired young man carrying a doctor's black bag walks slowly down the street and stops to watch a crew of men empty the house ahead of him into a moving van at the curb. He smiles without amusement.
Hey, take it easy, will you, fellas? You ain't rattling potatoes. This stuff breaks easy.
Yeah, very easy.
Huh?
Hello, Mac.
Oh, hi, hi.
If anybody was to ask me, I'd say it looks like Doc Culver was going out of business.
Yeah, that's right, Dr. Culver.
You know, it's funny how much stuff a man can accumulate in a year.
Yeah, real tough, losing everything like this. A lot of people in this town are going to be real sorry when they hear about it, Doc.
Well, it's my own fault, I guess. Maybe I should have checked the patient's bank balances before checking the temperatures. Only the temperatures seemed more important at the time.
That's really a shame. You know, every guy in town without a buck always calls you.
Well, the strange thing about the poor, they get sick just as often as the rich. Maybe even more often.
You should have made sure that you had a few paying patients, Doc.
Look, a doctor's job isn't diagnosing pocketbooks. It's fighting disease.
Yeah, but you... Well, what are you going to do now, Doc?
I don't know. Look for a job, I guess.
You always wanted to be a doctor, didn't you?
Yeah, ever since I was a kid. Pretty much all through, aren't you?
Yeah, a couple of minutes.
Well, I'll go on in.
Doc, the guy from the finance company's inside, Mr. Barnes.
Ah. Probably wanted to make sure he didn't overlook any little items, like the X-ray machine.
Yeah, that's right, Doc.
Well, keep your feet dry. I'll be seeing you.
You bet, Doc. You bet.
Hello, Mr. Barnes.
Well, hello, Dr. Culver. Well, we're just about finished here.
Fine.
Yeah, bad business. Sorry about this.
Thanks.
Well, it's the way things are. Bills have got to be paid. Books have to be kept in order,
I don't suppose items like babies delivered or bones set or fever driven down, don't suppose they count, do they?
Well, they're not the kind of thing you can feed to an adding machine, are they?
No, they're not.
I'm much older than you are, Dr. Culver. I hope you're not too proud to take a little advice from me.
I'm not proud.
You're like a great many young men, Doctor. Idealists, head in the clouds kind of thing. Doesn't pay, Doctor, doesn't pay.
Look, I didn't become a doctor to make money, but because I wanted to help people.
Of course, but to do that you need money, boy. Charity begins at home. A pauper is of no help to anyone, including himself. The moral?
Yes, Mr. Barnes, the moral. By all means, the moral.
Make money. No matter how, no matter what your ideals, aims, desires are, it all begins with one imperative. Make money. Well, goodbye, Doctor.
Make money. Hello? You want Dr. Culver? Well, he isn't in. When will he return? God knows. All right. Sorry, I dozed off.
You help me inside, Doc?
Why, sure. But look, I'm not taking patients.
Yes, I know. It's after office hours, but I need some help. I've had a little accident. Let me get my coat open.
Look, I'll take that briefcase you've got.
No, I can manage it. Yeah, I can get it out of this sleeve. There.
Good Lord.
How does it look to you?
Not good. Hey, you're losing a lot of blood. Sit down.
Okay.
Your shirt will have to come off. Here. Now.
Well?
Those are gunshot wounds.
I didn't say they were flea bites.
Sit tight.
Where are you going?
A couple of phone calls to make. Hospital and police.
Police?
Routine. They have to be notified about all gunshot wounds.
Doc.
Hello?
Put that phone down.
What?
I couldn't miss you this close. I said put it down.
All right.
Starting from now, the gun's on you all the time. Doc, you shouldn't get ideas all by yourself. Put a bandage on me and stop the bleeding.
That's no good. I have to dig for the bullets.
Well, later on, somebody might get nosy about that phone call you didn't make. Now, will you put a bandage on me?
All right.
Yeah.
You better hold still.
What's your name, Doc?
Culver.
Yeah, that's right. I saw it on the shingle.
Easy now.
Doc, how would you like to take a look inside this briefcase? Huh?
Look, you better not talk too much.
Who do you think you are, telling Barney Shields what to do?
Now, take it easy, Mr. Shields.
Yeah, heck, Doctor. Listen, I pulled the job off, didn't I? I got the proof right here in this case. Yeah, maybe I stopped a couple of slugs, but how many operators could take a bank all by themselves, huh?
Yeah, that's all I can do for you here.
I don't feel so good.
The hospital's a place for you.
No hospital. I don't feel so good, Doc. Doc.
Yes?
I'm going to need some more medical attention. I think you better come with me.
But look,
I got a car. We can duck up some back road. Let's get started, huh?
No.
Listen, if I don't get taken care of pretty soon, I'll kick off, won't I?
That's right.
So I've got nothing to lose. So if you act stubborn, you'll get there first. Well?
Well, it's a pressing invitation. All right, I'll come along. I don't have anything to lose either.
You drive nice, Doc.
Thanks.
If you're playing with any idea, driving right up to the police.
No ideas.
Yeah, you better not. You know, Doc, if you fix me up, I'm going to pay you a nice fee.
That makes you different from all my other patients.
Sure. How many of them go around carrying $30,000 in a briefcase, huh?
Not more than a handful.
You're a great kidder, Doc. Like I'm not bleeding so much now.
No?
But I feel worse.
Well, you're probably bleeding internally.
That's not good?
No.
Tell me the truth. How are my chances?
I can't be sure, but I think you've run out of chances, Shields.
I like that, huh? Listen, cops. Step on it, Doc, will you?
No, the road's too rough. If we hit a bump too hard, it would finish you.
But they'll get me. Barney Shields.
Shut that door, you fool.
I'm getting out. No cops are going to get me.
Shields, this briefcase you... You won't need it. Not where you've gone, and I might. Wherever it is I'm going.
In just a moment, we'll return with Act Two of The Deeper Shadow, starring Mr. Ray Milland. Have you knocked on wood recently? Chances are you have, most people do, lightheartedly, of course, to guard against bad luck or some specific evil. It's a deep instinctive practice, old as the human race, to employ some ritual or other to fend off misfortune. The ancient Greeks never started a procession to the Oracle at Delphi without waiting for a flash of lightning to assure them that bad luck would keep its distance. You will remember the elaborate hocus-pocus of Tom Sawyer and Huckleberry Finn to ward off disaster. Many a man carries a horse chestnut to keep rheumatism away. And rabbit's feet and horseshoes, many persons hope, provide magical protection against the caprice of an unknown tomorrow. But whether or not you believe in the power of good luck charms to prevent misfortune, there is a way to guarantee a safer and more secure future for yourself and your loved ones. And that's the Prudential way. We don't call it magic, even though it sometimes seems like magic to Prudential families, when Prudential monthly income checks begin coming in after Dad's have permanently stopped. Magic to Dad himself, when Prudential checks begin to pay for Junior's education. Magic indeed, when Prudential retirement checks begin arriving to lift the burden of earning a living from Dad's shoulders. Some people believe a rabbit's foot will do it. Don't you think it would be wise to turn this job over to the Prudential? Now, Act Two of The Deeper Shadow, starring Mr. Ray Milland. Ten years have passed. It's November again, but a warmer November in a small town on the California coast. A cornerstone is being laid, and in the warm sunshine, most of the town's population is listening to the mayor, who, like most mayors, is making a speech.
We're going to have a hospital here in Mica. About time, too. They've wanted one for years, needed one. And today we're laying the cornerstone for that hospital. But before going on with the ceremony, I want to remind you that the man most responsible for seeing that this dream of ours is becoming a reality is that public-spirited citizen, that leading industrialist...
Ted. Yes, Mrs. Randall.
Are you blushing?
Well, I am trying to.
You'd better. You'll lose your reputation for modesty if you don't. The mayor's talking about you, you know.
Well, not from a description.
And friend and fellow countryman... Ted R. Randall!
Yeah. Yeah. Please, Ted, come on, let's have a speech.
Ted, make a speech.
Oh, Jane, I can't. I'm not that type to...
Type or not, they want you to.
Oh, all right, I will. It'll serve them right.
Mr. Mayor, friends, I'm not sure I've got the right to make a speech to you. After all, I'm practically a stranger. Huh? I've lived in Mica for only 10 years. But Mica's been good to me. I found a home here, a wife and child whom I love, and happiness. And I've done all right in business, too.
Practically owns the town.
Well, that isn't very important, except that it's made it possible for me to help. And helping others is pretty much the first job of any man. And I've been lucky, luckier than most people, I think, without doing anything to deserve it. And, well, maybe the best part of my luck was that I came to Mica one day years ago and that you let me stay and become one of you. Well, that's about all, I guess.
Nice going, Ted.
Ted, you dope. That was a wonderful speech.
Was it? What'd I say?
Mr. Randall, turn your head this way a minute.
What?
That's right.
Ted, close your mouth. The photographer was taking your picture.
Photographer?
From the county paper. Ted, what's the matter?
Well, I gotta stop him.
Why?
Because I... Oh, nothing. Nothing. It's just that...
Well, who in his right mind wants to look at this face over his morning coffee?
I do, darling. It's a very handsome face. You're too modest, isn't he, Mr. Mayor?
What's that, Mrs. Randall?
He's upset because he's getting his picture in the county paper.
That's downright silly. Man like you, Ted, ought to have his picture in every paper in the country.
Not Pop, Johnny.
Why?
Well, it isn't dignified.
Stinky calls his Pop Pop.
Sure, but don't forget that Stinky's father called Stinky Stinky.
Would you like to call me Stinky?
No. Look, why don't we drop the whole thing, huh?
Okay, Pop. Hey, what's the capital of New Mexico?
Butte.
Oh, that's Montana.
Since when? Little Rock?
Uh-uh. Arkansas.
I give up.
You can't give up. We're not playing a game. We're doing my homework.
We are? Why don't you do your own homework?
It's beginning to look like I'll have to.
Well, dinner dishes are done. My, what a charming domestic scene. Ted, your pipe's drooling. Johnny, stop chewing that pencil.
Hi, Mom. Hey, Pop, how about some checkers?
Look, how do you expect to get your homework done?
I don't.
What'll your teacher say?
Anything she said yesterday, I guess.
Well, that's nice. What did she say yesterday?
Doesn't look like I'm ever going to be president. Anyway, maybe you know something about Ohio.
Why should I know anything about Ohio?
Well, gee, Pop, I...
Don't call me Pop. Look, you better run along, Johnny. I don't feel so well.
Okay.
Johnny, it's late anyway. You get ready. I'll tuck you in, huh?
Okay, Mom. Good night, Pop.
Good night, Johnny.
Ted.
Yeah?
Ted, what's the matter? You've been so jumpy this last week.
Oh.
Ever since the cornerstone thing. Has anything happened?
No, nothing, Jane. Just
Nerves, maybe.
You're working too hard, most likely.
Yeah, that could be it. Look, honey, would you go tuck Johnny in?
Huh? All right.
Ohio. Ohio.
All right, all right. Dr. Culver?
I beg your pardon?
Excuse me, that name was running in my mind. Mr. Randall?
Yes.
Mind if I come in?
No.
Nice place you got here.
Who are you?
Don't you recognize me?
No. Should I?
The name is Shields, Barney Shields.
Well, what do you want, Mr. Shields?
Well, I saw this picture here in the paper. It looked a whole lot like a friend of mine, an Ohio man.
Well, there's a chance resemblance, I suppose.
You look a whole lot like this friend of mine. I'm not sure. I only saw this friend once, and the light wasn't very good. I was pretty sure that I'd recognize him again, though.
Well, I'm sorry I can't help you.
You could easily be a brother of his.
I have no brothers.
His name was Culver, Dr. Robert Culver. Doesn't mean a thing to you, huh?
No. Good night, Mr. Shields.
Yeah, it is kind of late. The reason I'm so anxious to find this friend of mine is that he owes me a lot of money. $30,000. That's the only reason. Good night, Mr. Randall. How about another cup of coffee?
Coming up.
This Randall, Theodore Randall. He a local boy?
Yeah, I am.
Is he born here?
No, been around a long time, though.
How long?
10 years. There's your coffee.
Well, you usually get a crowd around a construction job. What are they building, friend?
It's a new hospital.
Hospital for a town this size? Somebody's got too much money.
Well, most of it's come from one man.
Who?
Theodore Randall.
How much did he throw into the pot?
$30,000.
Mr. Randall.
Yes, Nellie?
Someone to see you in the outer office.
Who is it?
The sheriff.
Oh. Well, send him in, Nellie.
Yes, sir.
Hi, Ted.
Oh. Hello, Sheriff. You after my cigars again?
Oh, no, not today, Ted. Oh, there's something on my mind.
What?
Meeker's an awful small town. Strangers don't get lost here easy. A couple of 3 days ago, one showed up. A man named Shield. That name familiar to you?
No, not to me.
Yeah, well, I didn't like his looks. The way he spoke reminded me of something, so I checked. He's an ex-convict, just finished serving a 7-year sentence.
That's so?
Mm-hmm. Got himself a job working on the new hospital.
Oh, that sounds all right.
Oh, sure. I don't hold a man's past against him if he's gone straight. The only thing is, he's been going around asking a lot of questions about you.
Has he?
Yeah, he has. Well, he also gave your name as reference for the job.
My name?
Yeah. A funny story about him, too. 10 years ago, he robbed a bank all by himself. Got away with a lot of money. Was wounded, though. When the police finally caught up with him, he was pretty near dying in a ditch out on a back road. And money was gone.
Well.
Yeah, yeah. Police spent quite a bit of time looking for accomplices. Turned out he didn't have any. Well, they figured somebody passing by stole the money and just let it go at that. Except for one thing.
What was that?
The young doctor in town left kind of sudden that night. He hadn't been doing well, either.
Well, lots of doctors don't do well, in Ohio or anywhere else.
Oh, yeah, that's true. Well, anyway, the police were kind of curious, felt they'd like to ask the doctor a few questions. You know something? They never could find him.
Well, I don't imagine he'd have been able to help him, would he? After all, there was no connection.
No, except Shields had had his wound bandaged. The bandaging looked kind of professional. Well, I don't want to keep you all day gossiping here.
Oh, it's all right. I wouldn't worry about Shields.
Okay, you're the doctor.
What?
Oh, I just thought I'd let you know about it. You do whatever you please. Goodbye. Oh, say.
Yes?
Did I say anything about Ohio? Yeah, I guess I must have. Well, goodbye.
Thank you.
Act three of our play, starring Ray Milland, in just a moment. Have you ever said, I want my children to have all the advantages I didn't have? Well, perhaps the first step is to make sure your children will have at least the advantages you did have. For example, if you were not here, would your youngsters be as well off as you were at their age? Would there be money for school and clothes, food and shelter? Would they have the full-time mother they need so much, or part-time mother busy earning a living? And would they be able to prepare themselves for worthwhile positions in later life, or would they be too busy helping to support the family? This is where the Prudential comes to your aid. The Prudential can help you guarantee that your children will have the advantage you want them to have. By means of the Prudential's dollar guide, you yourself can determine how much money you would need to provide for them. Then, when you have arrived at the amount, your Prudential representative can show you how you can be sure the money will be there when your family needs it most. Ask the Prudential man nearest you about the dollar guide. Of The Deeper Shadow, starring Ray Milland.
Hi, Mr. Randall.
What? Shields.
Yeah, say, Randall, about that guy who looks so much like you.
Yeah? You run into him yet?
Yeah. He's been living in this town for 10 years.
Shields, why don't you get out?
I like it here. I like it $30,000 worth.
I haven't got nearly that much.
You've been handing out money to hospitals.
I had to do that.
Well, try a bank. You remember about banks, don't you? Now, listen, I'm getting tired working. I figure maybe I can hold out until tomorrow. And after that, I start talking.
I could kill you.
Oh, no. You're what they call a good man. You threw a curve once, and you want me more. Good night, Mr. Randall, and remember, tomorrow.
Yeah, it's beginning to take shape, aren't they?
What? Oh, you mean the hospital? Yes, it is, Sheriff.
Yeah. Around about lunchtime, 3/4 of the town congregates here.
Jane and Johnny are taking a 50-cent tour.
Nice boy, Johnny.
Very nice boy. Sheriff.
Yeah?
You find out anything more about Shields and that doctor?
Yeah, there's nothing to find out. It's a closed case, I figure.
Oh, well.
Johnny!
Hey, that sounded like Jane. Come on, Sheriff.
They were pouring concrete over on that
it
side.
Couldn't be Jane or Johnny.
Now, hold on now. A lot of people gather around. Mike! Hey, Mike, what happened?
Props went out. Concrete mixer started downhill.
What about Johnny?
Oh, he's okay. There he is.
Oh, it's easy, Johnny. Easy, boy. It's all right.
Oh, dear.
Oh, shh, darling. Nobody's been hurt.
Oh, yes, Ted. Yes, the man who saved Johnny was hurt.
Yeah, he was hurt bad.
Oh?
Johnny was right in the path of the mixer. Shields jumped in, pushed him away. Got hit himself.
Did you say Shields?
Yeah.
Where is he?
Oh, right over here. Come on. See? He's pretty much busted up.
Unconscious.
How about the doctor, Mike?
Doc Shea's up in the mountain, Sheriff, on a delivery. We can't reach him.
Well, that's no good. This man needs immediate surgery. He'll die. Unless
what, Ted?
The nearest hospital.
That's 40 miles from here.
Well, he'd never get there alive. He's got to be moved out of the sun, indoors. Look, my house is close by. Mike, get some men together, will you?
Okay.
You can make a stretch out of some 2x4s and some shirts.
Yeah.
Get him to my house quick, huh? I owe him a life. Any word from Doc Shea yet?
Not yet, Ted.
Ted, sit down. There's nothing you can do.
He's going to die. He's losing too much blood. Darling, where's Johnny?
I put him to bed.
How was he?
He's a little feverish, but he's all right.
Why should a man like Shields risk his life to save a child, Sheriff? There was no money in it for him.
I don't know, Ted, except that maybe the human animal ain't all bad, especially when it ain't given too much time to think.
Listen to him. Gasping his life out.
A man whose life was lived under a shadow. An ex-convict. But maybe there's a deeper shadow. Jane?
Yes, darling?
Go upstairs. In my room, in a big closet, you know?
Yes?
At the back of it, you'll find a little black bag. Will you get it for me, please?
All right, Ted.
Hey, Ted, during the war, I studied a lot of first aid. I won't be too much help, but I can help some when you operate.
Ted? Sheriff?
He'll live.
Oh, Ted.
It was a fine job. Better than Doc Shea could have done.
Just patchwork. But he'll last till he gets to a hospital now. Well, Sheriff, I'm ready to go whenever you are.
Darling, what...
Ted, I'm sorry.
I thought building the hospital might repay, but that was too easy. Now it's about time I settled up. The only thing is, I got a lot of talking to do with Jane. If you could wait for me outside... Sheriff?
Ted, I'm frightened.
It's bad, Jane. It's very bad. But sometimes a doctor's got to hurt before he can heal. And if there's time enough and love enough...
I don't understand. I don't understand.
Sheriff.
Oh, sure. Take all the time you need. I won't mind waiting. And after tonight, I don't think... she'll mind waiting either. I'll be out here, Dr. Culver.
Ray Milland will be back in just a moment to tell you about next week's Play and Star. And ladies and gentlemen, I'm sure you'll all enjoy Mr. Milland's stirring performance in the new Paramount picture, Sealed Verdict. Tonight's story was written especially for Mr. Milland by Doug Hayes and was directed by Jack Johnstone, with music composed and conducted by Carmen Dragon, and brought to you by the Prudential Insurance Company of America, the company with the strength of Gibraltar. Now, here again is Ray Milland.
First, I'd like to say thanks to an excellent cast, and especially to Frank Lovejoy, who played Barney Shields. Now, next week, the Prudential Family Hour of Stars will bring you a story called Moonlight Sonata, and the star will be Barbara Stanwyck. Don't miss it. Goodbye, and I'll see you soon.
This is Truman Bradley speaking, and saying good afternoon for the Prudential Family Hour of Stars. Humphrey Bogart, Betty Davis, Ray Milland, Gregory Peck, Ginger Rogers, Barbara Stanwyck, and Robert Taylor, and for the Prudential Insurance Company of America. Friends, if we are free and the rest of the world is not, we're not going to be free long. Now is the time to strengthen democracy here and provide an example of the superiority of free government to those countries which are in the process of making a decision. You can do this by keeping informed, by making your opinions known to your representatives, and by serving on juries and school boards. Remember, freedom is everybody's job. All characters and incidents used on tonight's program are fictitious, and any similarity to actual characters or incidents is purely coincidental. Don't forget, next week, Barbara Stanwyck in Moonlight Sonata. Stay tuned now for the pause that refreshes with the glorious voice of Jane Froman and the music of Percy Faith. This is CBS, the Columbia Broadcasting System.
KNX, AM and FM, Los Angeles.